Welcome to Radar Contact, the audio show that teaches pilots how to speak professionally and with confidence to air traffic control. If you have avoided contact with air traffic control because you just didn't know what to say or didn't know how to say it, Radar Contact is going to change the way you fly and communicate. And now here's your host, airline pilot, author, and host of ATCCommunication.com, Jeff Canarish.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Radar Contact. Last week I had my first exposure to the Garmin 1000 avionics suite for general aviation aircraft. The setup I played around with was installed in a Diamond DA-40 aircraft owned by my friend Dr. Joe Horton. Now, if you're not familiar with the Garmin 1000, let me tell you it's a very impressive piece of technology. Basically, everything you could want or need in an avionics suite is presented to the pilot on two large multifunction displays. Some of the highlights of the system include GPS navigation with simultaneous horizontal views and bird's eye views of your aircraft's relationship to the ground, terrain, obstacles, nav aids, airways, airports, weather, and even other aircraft. The system allows you to do on-the-fly flight planning. It can be coupled to an autopilot for push-button flight control and navigation. A level of artificial intelligence built into the system will deliver information it thinks you need, when it thinks you need it, almost to the point of information overload. In almost every respect, the Garmin 1000 exceeds the level of technology present in most commercial airliners today. Now, it sounds like I'm advertising for Garmin here. But as good as it is, the Garmin system cannot act as a substitute for your good judgment as a pilot. It also cannot make radio calls for you. Both of those qualities still rely upon good flight training and experience. And that's why you and I are spending time together to help you build experience and judgment when using your aircraft radio. So let's put your time to good use and get right to today's topics, which, amazingly enough, are all about building experience in the aircraft radio. Take a guess. What is the number one question I get asked by visitors to ATCCommunication.com? Here's a hint. It has something to do with finding the right words to respond to an air traffic controller's instructions as you're flying your airplane. Here's another hint. It has something to do with pilots or students with very low flying time. Here's your last hint. It has something to do with little or no recent exposure to working with ATC. Are you ready? Here's the answer. The number one question I get asked at ATCCommunication.com comes from student pilots or licensed pilots with very low flying time who've had little or no recent exposure to ATC and cannot find the right words to respond to air traffic control as they fly their airplane. A typical question might go something like this. Dear Jeff, I'm a student pilot with 10 hours of flight instruction under my belt. My flight instructor just introduced me to flying at a tower-controlled airport. I can hear the tower controller okay, and I understand what he is telling me to do for the most part. But I cannot seem to put the words together to answer the controller. You know, I've addressed this problem before at ATCCommunication.com, but let me take another stab at it by drawing an analogy. For the purposes of this analogy, I'm going to assume you are not proficient at riding a unicycle. I'm also going to assume you are not an accomplished player of the violin. If you are skilled in one or both of these areas, I don't know, substitute a single water ski for the unicycle, and substitute a flute for the violin. And if you happen to be an accomplished water skier and you play the flute with the London Symphony Orchestra, then just skip this segment of the show. I have nothing useful to say to you. However, getting back to our original example in which you are an unskilled rider of the unicycle and you have no experience playing the violin, here's what I propose. I propose you go out, get a unicycle, and find someone who can teach you how to ride the thing. There's a condition I want to place on your learning process. As you learn to ride the unicycle, I want you to teach yourself to play the violin while on the unicycle. Not only that, I challenge you to become an accomplished unicycle rider and a virtuoso on the violin with only 10 hours of practice. Now, I don't pretend to know your athletic abilities. I also don't know how quickly you develop muscle memory or whether you have an ear for music. And despite my lack of insight, I'm going to make a prediction. After 10 hours of training to be a violin-playing unicycle rider, I predict you will have learned how to ride that unicycle around the block without falling off. You might not be ready for the circus spotlight, but you will probably have go, stop, and easy turns in your repertoire. As for the violin, I'm going to say that not only will you not be able to play Mary Had a Little Lamb, you probably will not be able to play anything at all because the violin will have broken in at least two pieces, and even if the violin survived many falls off your unicycle, you may very well have a hard time playing it due to a broken arm and a cracked rib. Well, why didn't you learn anything about playing the violin? Because your brain and muscle activity were all working at full capacity just to stay on the unicycle. There's nothing left over for violin playing. This is all fun to talk about, but what does it have to do with talking on the aircraft radio? Learning to fly, or learning to fly well if you've already have your pilot's license, takes a lot of concentration. As with learning to ride the unicycle, getting comfortable in the airplane takes a ton of mental processing. Not only do you have to devote brain power to simply controlling the airplane, your brain's synapses are firing like crazy just to help you stay oriented in three dimensions in space. And if all that weren't enough, you have to put aircraft control and 3D orientation into the context of actually navigating your airplane from point A to point B while staying mindful of the aircraft's operating limits, the changing environment, and all the regulations that surround flying activity. I mean, holy cow! Maybe my comparison of learning the unicycle and learning to fly was off the mark. Flying is actually a whole lot more difficult than riding a unicycle. Are you with me so far? Good. We throw in the extra demands of having to respond to ATC as you try to become proficient in flying and navigating. If your brain is firing on all cylinders just to make the airplane go where you want it to go, what's left over to handle talking to air traffic control? Nothing. Or next to nothing. Your brain is at its limit well before the radio starts squawking at you to report entering a midfield left downwind at runway N1A, traffic is a Cessna 172 turning crosswind, and the altimeter is 2998. Great. We've identified the problem. You're not stupid. You're just busy. Here's the other problem. The air traffic controller doesn't care. He expects you to respond to his instructions even when you are busy. So what's a struggling pilot to do? The answer is, you already know the answer. I'll prove it to you. If I said to you, geez, I really want and need to learn how to ride the unicycle. I also want and need to learn how to play the violin, but I've already proven to myself that I cannot learn how to do both of those at the same time. What would you suggest I do? Of course, you're going to tell me, learn how to do each activity separately. Train on the unicycle Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Practice the violin on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Sunday, do whatever you want with Sunday. That plan works for unicycles and violins, but here's the catch. You simply can't ignore the radio while you practice your flying skills. The radio must be answered, right? Why, yes. Yes, it does. Which takes us back to the earlier question. What's a struggling pilot to do? Here's the answer. First, if you are still struggling with basic aircraft control, let your flight instructor handle the radios. If you have a flight instructor who does not grasp this basic concept, either explain it to him or her, or find another flight instructor who understands you can't learn to play the violin while learning to ride a unicycle. Second, if at all possible, and I know this may be virtually impossible in some circumstances, avoid flying at a positively controlled airport until your basic flying skills become reliable. Third, don't sweat it if you fail to comprehend or properly respond to an ATC clearance while you're still learning to fly. Your primary goal in the early stages of your flight training should be aircraft control. Actually, let me amend that. Your primary goal at any stage in your flying career should be aircraft control. When given the choice between maintaining aircraft control and devoting your attention entirely on answering the radio, there is no choice. Always maintain aircraft control first, navigate second, and then, as time and attention permits, answer the radio. By always, I mean now, in your first year of flying, and 50 years from now when your shoulder is almost too arthritic to reach the radio transmit switch. My point is, when in the early stages of your flying career, just accept that your brain is going to be running at maximum capacity as it copes to keep the airplane upright. As your brain builds the neural pathways to reliably work the aircraft controls, more and more brain processing time will be released to handle other activities such as talking on the radio. In short, it takes time, patience, and practice to reach a point where you can fly and talk at the same time. To endure a brief period of nausea to give you an example I can barely tolerate, but one that you might be able to relate to. I'm using this example because it does not contain any classified information. Here goes. I'm sure you've seen the movie Top Gun. How could you not? You know the scene towards the end of the movie where Maverick and Iceman are engaging the Soviet pilots in air combat over the ocean? In that scene, you'll notice that not only are all of the Navy pilots maneuvering their fighter jets through aerobatic maneuvers, they are also employing air-to-air weapons against the enemy. For me, the takeaway from that segment is not the flying or the missile and gun deployment. The takeaway is that those Navy pukes are flying and fighting while talking aircraft-to-aircraft via the radio and cockpit-to-cockpit via intercom. In any of the armed forces of the world, pilots are expected to fly almost without thinking about it. While aircraft control is always the primary goal, even in military flying, the flying gets processed in some dark corner of the brain. Most of a fighter pilot's mental processing is focused on weapons deployment and on communicating. You think Maverick and Iceman were talking a lot in that scene? That's nothing compared to what really goes on between fighter aircraft and actual combat. I mean, the radio positively crackles with communication in the heat of battle. The skill isn't something that happens to fighter pilots overnight. It takes years and years of practice to reach this level of proficiency where aircraft control feels almost like second nature and the focus is on shooting and on talking. So it is with you. Time, patience, and practice, and you too will become a flying and talking maestro. But let's say you're impatient, as most motivated pilots are. You don't want to wait 3 or 4 years before you sound like a pro. My answer is, I'm sorry, there are no shortcuts. Time, patience, and practice make up the only path to proficiency. The good news is, you can accelerate one component of this formula. Well, you can't accelerate time, and accelerating patience is actually the opposite of patience. You can, fortunately, accelerate practice. How? Practice your radio work at home. There are several ways to do that. First, you can chair fly. And if you're not familiar with that term, chair fly, it means practice the movements and radio calls you would make in your airplane, only practice them as you sit in a comfortable chair. This action requires you to visualize yourself in an actual airplane and manipulate imaginary controls. Some people use a poster-sized photo of their cockpit to help them visualize their situation. Second, you can practice with a training partner, preferably someone who's close to your level of flying proficiency. One of you plays the environmental engineer. That's the person who describes the flying situation and acts as an air traffic controller. You respond to your practice partner's descriptions and simulated radio calls. And then you switch roles. Third, you can practice your radio calls with feedback by using the aircraft radio simulator at atccommunication.com. As it stands right now, the simulator allows you to fly around southern Florida and work the simulated radio. The sim does not provide ATC input at this point. It will record and play back your transmissions, allowing you to practice and critique your own radio calls. Your last option is to practice using aircraft radios while on the ground. I have a full description of how to do that in my new book, Radio Mastery for VFR Pilots. And while we're on that subject, I have to admit something that's a little embarrassing for me. If you purchased my book at the time it came out in late October, up until early last week, you might have caught an error at the end of the first chapter. In the Take Action section of the first chapter, I described a radio exercise that used the frequency 123.45 to practice radio work. Now, 123.45 used to be the universal chat frequency pilots could use to talk airplane to airplane while in flight. It turns out in 2008, the Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, redefined the use of 123.45. It is no longer available for use as a chat frequency when flying over land in the United States. It still can be used for that purpose when flying over the open ocean out of range of VHF communication with ATC. And that's why I'm so familiar with it, because I still occasionally fly blue water routes out of VHF range with ATC. We dial in 123.45 to talk airplane to airplane while over the ocean. We use high frequency radios to talk to ATC. With the change in 2008, however, over land in the U.S., 123.45 may now only be reserved for communication during flight test operations by companies that conduct flight test. The new frequency, the one that you can use for air-to-air communication between private fixed-wing aircraft over land, is 122.75. And that's clearly spelled out in the Aeronautical Information Manual, so I'll take the hit for missing that. If you have a copy of the book that references 123.45, please make a write-in change, substituting 122.75 for 123.45. If you have the Kindle or Nook version of Radio Mastery for VFR pilots, simply note the correct frequency to use is 122.75. And if you purchase the book in any form after the second week of December, the change was already put into place. By the way, if you are looking for a resource that contains everything you need to know about talking to air traffic control, including all of the exercises I mentioned earlier, and a whole lot more, the book I've been talking about, Radio Mastery for VFR Pilots, is waiting for you at Amazon.com or at BarnesandNoble.com, and you can find a link directly to the book at ATCCommunication.com. Well, at the top of the show, I asked you, what is the number one question I receive at ATCCommunication.com? Now I've got a question for you, because it's time for our question of the week. You are about to taxi out to the runway at a tower-controlled airport. Tower is using runway 36 for departures. After you tell the ground controller you are ready to taxi, the ground controller says to you,
Cessna 9130 Delta, runway 36 at intersection Mike, taxi via Alpha and Mike.
Here's the question, and it's a two-part question. First, what does the ground controller mean when he says, runway 36 at intersection Mike? Second, let's say there are three taxiways that connect to runway 36, taxiways Lima, Mike, and November. If taxiway November intersects the beginning of the runway, also known as the approach end, and taxiways Mike and Lima connect to the runway at points further down the runway, without looking at any printed material, how could you tell exactly, down to the foot, how much runway would be available for takeoff if you started your takeoff roll beginning a beam either taxiway Mike or taxiway Lima? When you think you know the answer to those questions, go to atccommunication.com/answers. There you will find a complete answer to the question, along with an explanation of how that answer was derived. I sure hope you enjoyed listening to the show. As I said earlier in the show, if you have questions or comments, you can always write to me at jeff@atccommunication.com. And I absolutely love hearing from you, because it's those questions and comments that drive the content for the very next Radar Contact. Music for this show was provided by Kevin McLeod at incompetech.com on a creative license by Attribution 3.0 license. Well, it's the holiday season, and I hope if you're out traveling that you have a very safe and pleasant holiday. And if I don't talk to you before the new year, have a happy new year as well. I'm Jeff Canarish for ATCCommunication.com and my new book, Radio Mastery for VFR Pilots, saying, be well and fly safe.